Today, we begin a two-part study on Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, which focuses on walking worthy of the calling with which we have been called. Our first message will examine the exhortation about walking worthy, and the second message will address the characteristics that mark this kind of walk. But first, let's be encouraged by the special musical presentation, Beulah Land. I encourage you to take your Bibles and turn with me today to the New Testament book of Paul's letter to the Ephesians, and there we'll be reading from the fourth chapter, verses 1 and 2, as we focus our thoughts on walking in a manner worthy of our calling. Once again, we'll be reading from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 2. It is generally recognized that this letter by Paul to the Ephesians consists of two major divisions. The first three chapters are considered to be largely doctrinal in nature. Here, the emphasis is on the sovereignty of the purpose and scope of God's plan of salvation to create a new redeemed humanity, that is, the people of God, the church. The last three chapters, chapters 4 through 6, are largely practical in nature. Paul's emphasis here is on the natural and necessary expression of God's redemptive purposes in a believer's life. In other words, very simply, Paul instructs believers, those who have come to faith in Jesus Christ as a result of God's plan of salvation, but Paul instructs believers how to live their lives in a manner that is both consistent with and reflective of the purposes of God in salvation. Verse 1 of chapter 4 is noted as being the pivotal verse that marks this transition from doctrine to practice. And this transition is characterized by two key terms. First of all, there is calling, and secondly, there is the term walk. And we're going to note more about these in just a moment. But calling captures the essence of the first three chapters, and walk captures the heart of chapters 4 through 6. It's the fact that this high calling that believers have graciously experienced in their salvation brings with it phenomenal responsibilities, specifically in terms of how we are now to live. As one writer notes, it is highly significant that the first item on the agenda is the need for Christians to live together in love and unity, which is Paul's primary interest in verses 1 through 16. Now, in light of this, we're going to look at two features involved in walking worthy of our calling. First, there is the exhortation in walking worthy of our calling. And secondly, there are the characteristics of walking worthy of our calling. With that, please read with me from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. By inspiration, Paul writes, "I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love." Now, we're going to stop here because verse 3 expands what we're going to talk about in verses 1 and 2 into a broader issue of unity in the Spirit, which concludes in verse 6. Our interest today is on verses 1 and 2. Now, let's begin with our first major point, the exhortation in walking worthy of our calling. This is found in verse 1. And in this verse, there are four parts that help explain this exhortation. First of all, there is the nature of this exhortation, and this is seen in the term beseech. Some translations use the term urge. Paul says, "I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you." The term beseech is made up of two words. The first term means to call, and the second term means alongside of. So literally, the term beseech means to call to one's side. It is used for every kind of calling to a person which is meant to produce a particular effect. As a result, it has a much stronger force than just simply asking. Now, the objective in this term is results. It's to produce action or some kind of effect. Now, Paul could have given this term, which is a verb, in the imperative mood, which would have involved a command. And there are plenty of commands in this second part of Ephesians. But Paul seems to use this term as a way of getting things moving, but not just simply to the external act of obedience, but to bring a deep understanding and appreciation of the magnitude and graciousness of what God has done for sinners through Jesus Christ into the mixture as a major motivating force towards a right response. Now, this idea of calling along to one side suggests a very caring and intimate setting. It's not like a sergeant barking out orders to a private, but more like a parent coming alongside of a child to lovingly encourage and instruct and direct them in the right way. So this involves something about the nature of this exhortation from Paul's perspective to these Ephesian believers. Now, secondly, there is the focus of the exhortation, and this is seen in the term walk. Paul writes, "I beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called." The term walk here is used metaphorically to describe how one lives their life, that is, their manner of living. One resource says that it signifies the whole round of the activities of the individual life. In other words, there's no false dichotomy, there's no false division between what we do at church and what we do out in the world, how we behave around some people and how we behave around others. It is a singletary life that includes the public and the private, the internal and the external, all of life that is to be lived in a way that is worthy of our calling. Now, the term walk is found approximately 6 times in these last 3 chapters, indicating that this is a major issue, not only for Paul, but for the very sake of God's purpose. So the bottom line is, it matters how you live. Now, thirdly, there is the standard of the exhortation, and this is seen in the term worthy. Paul says, "I beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called." Now, to walk worthy of this calling simply means to live in such a way that reflects the nature and purpose of this calling. Now, we're going to look more at this idea of calling in just a moment. But I like how one resource describes this term worthy. He says, what the apostle urges is that the Ephesians, and ultimately all believers, may lead the sort of life that matches their Christian vocation, that is, calling. Worthy is literally bringing up the other beam of the scales. And so here it indicates equivalence. So what Paul is after in the Christian life is balance. A balance between what we profess, that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, and how we live. Now, the problem for a lot of us is that our life is out of balance. We tend to be heavy on profession, that is, calling ourselves a Christian, but light on demonstration or practice, that is, living like a Christian. So to walk worthy of our calling means that how we live rises up and balances with our profession of faith in Christ. To walk unworthily of our calling simply means that we say one thing, but how we live says something completely different. Now, fourth, there is the basis of this exhortation, and this is seen in the terms calling and called. Again, Paul writes, "I beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called." Now, the whole basis of this exhortation about our walk hinges on this phrase about calling. So the obvious question here is, what is meant by calling? Well, like a lot of terms in Scripture, calling has a wide range of applications. In essence, it means to call, summons, or invite. In other words, it speaks of an invitation or summons requesting or requiring some specified response. That is, one is called to believe, to go, to be, to receive or to do some particular thing. Now, theologically, calling has to do with the gospel of Jesus Christ, where sinners are called to repent of their sins and to place their faith in Jesus Christ as their only hope of salvation, along with all of its blessings, such as forgiveness of sins, adoption, and glorification, just to name a few. Now, this idea of calling is sometimes divided into two parts. First, there is the general outward call of the gospel, which goes to all people. Second, there is the inward or the internal call of the Holy Spirit. And this is often referenced as regeneration or being born again. It is this inward call of the Holy Spirit that enables the outward call of the gospel to be effectual, that is, to accomplish its objective, the salvation or the conversion of sinners. Now, the outward call of the gospel alone is always, always ineffective. And this is because sinners by nature are spiritually dead. They are spiritually blind. They are spiritually deaf. But this outward call of the gospel, accompanied by the inward work of the Holy Spirit in regeneration, enables the sinner to embrace the truth of the gospel by repenting of his sins and turning to Christ in faith as the only hope of his salvation. This call is always effectual. That is, it accomplishes its intended purpose because of this inward work of the Holy Spirit. Now, when God saves a sinner, it is never by accident. When God saves a sinner, it is always by purpose. Now, a great passage of Scripture that deals with this is Romans chapter 8, verses 28 through 30. Beginning with verse 28, Paul writes, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew," and the term foreknew here is practically equivalent to elected or chosen, "but for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified." Now, in this passage, we have a broad overview of the purpose of God in salvation, culminating in the glorification of sinners. Moving backwards, we have a rather clear view of just exactly who these are that will be glorified. So we begin with the question, who will God glorify? Well, the answer is, those that he justified. Well, who did he justify? Those whom he called. Well, who did he call? Those whom he predestined. Well, who did he predestine? Those whom he foreknew or chose. So calling, or effectual calling, is the result of God's purpose or plan. This calling is something that believers have received completely by grace. It is not something we can lay claim to by our own efforts or works. It is God who has called us, and it is God who has graciously enabled us to respond to his call. To respond to his call to turn away from our sins in repentance and to turn to Christ, not only as our Savior, but also to turn to Christ as our Lord. Now, when you consider these dimensions to the issue of calling, it becomes quite obvious that this is not only a gracious calling, it is a holy calling. Now, listen to Paul as he writes to his young pastoral protege, Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8 through 12. Listen very carefully to what Paul writes. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel, according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. Now here Paul takes the idea of this holy calling to greater heights of responsibility and privilege by emphasizing the suffering associated with the advancing of the gospel. But the bottom line is that this calling demands responsibility when it comes to how we live. One writer speaks of this calling, which belongs to every Christian, as being called to holiness, being called to service, and being called to sonship. Now, we don't mind being called to sonship so much, but holiness and service, well, that's something that we tend to struggle with. Now, I read where the essence of Christian theology is grace, and that the essence of Christian ethics, that is the standard of Christian moral behavior, is gratitude. And so the supreme motive for walking worthy of our calling is gratitude for all that Christ has done for us. This is our motivating factor. But the reality is, as I just noted, while acknowledging our sonship, being called to be a part of the family of God, is something that we readily embrace, the idea of being called to holiness and service is something that we struggle with. I don't think it's so much that believers set out to reject this. I think if a person's heart really has been touched by grace and God has called us into his family, if he has enabled us to repent of our sins, to turn away from our sins, and to turn to Christ, there is a desire to want to serve him. There is a desire to be holy, to be different, and to be set apart. But in practice, these things can be extremely difficult because we continue to battle our sinful flesh. We continue to battle the pressure of the world around us. And we continue to battle our arch enemy, Satan, who throws temptation after temptation to us so that we might in some way turn away from following Christ to get caught up with the sinful desires of the flesh. Now, since Satan cannot cause us to lose our salvation, his best bet is to immobilize us, to keep us from faithful service to Christ. And a part of that is in reference to our calling, the totality of being called as sons and daughters of God, being called to his service, and being called to a life of holiness. Now I close with one last quote. To be called by God out of the world and into the body of Christ is the highest vocation or calling possible. The Greek word for church, ecclesia, is made up of a prefix and a root. The prefix ek means out of. The root is the verb kaleo, which means to call. The church in the New Testament is made up of those who were called out from the world, from darkness, from damnation, from paganism, to to become members of the body of Christ. Again, this is a holy calling and a calling that we need to walk worthy of. Now, next week, we plan to look at the characteristics that are involved in walking worthy of our calling. But today, the emphasis is on making sure that our life balances out in what we profess, or perhaps we should say who we profess, and how we live our lives. Our life must be worthy of this glorious and gracious calling with which God has called us. Until next week, may the Lord bless you, is our prayers.